from KQED. From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Thuy Vu, in for Michael Krasny. Coming up on Forum in our opening segment this morning, we'll check in with Scott Schaefer, live from Washington, D.C., about the same-sex marriage hearings in the U.S. Supreme Court. Then after that, we take up the Golden Gate Bridge, which is making the switch to electronic tolls starting tomorrow. Instead of stopping at the toll booths, drivers can now pay by fast track, a license plate account, or through prepayments. How will that change your commute? Then at 9:30, enrollment at California's community colleges is the lowest it has been in 20 years. A new report suggests that funding cuts are to blame. Join us for Forum next after this. From KQED Public Radio, good morning and welcome to Forum. I'm Thuy Vu, in today for Michael Krasny. A landmark day this morning on the issue of gay marriage. The U.S. Supreme Court heard arguments on Proposition 8, California's ban on same-sex marriage. We'll give you an update on that shortly from Scott Schaefer, who is in Washington covering the hearings at the U.S. Supreme Court. But until we hear from him, first we'd like to go to our topic this half hour, and that's the Golden Gate Bridge. You know, if you commute on the Golden Gate Bridge, you know that it's that time, a final chance to say goodbye to toll takers. Beginning tomorrow, the bridge will switch to all electronic tolls. That means you'll need to have fast track or an account online or pay cash at special kiosks ahead of time to cross the bridge. And how will this big change affect your commute? Here to discuss the impact is Dennis Mulligan. But now I'm getting word that we do have Scott Schaefer. I'm going to put you on hold, Dennis Mulligan, and go to Scott Schaefer in Washington, D.C. Scott, thanks so much for joining us. I know you've had a busy morning.
It's been busy, yes. There's a lot going on here, as you can imagine.
Yes. Well, what happened in court today?
Well, it went for an hour and about 20 minutes, which is about 20 minutes longer than was allotted. So a lot of questions from the justices. The first thing that became immediately clear within literally 30 seconds is that the justices are taking very seriously this question of legal standing. The attorney for the Yes on 8 campaign started and didn't get a sentence finished before Chief Justice Roberts interrupted him and said, what about the jurisdictional question? Because he was off talking about marriage. And so there were some tough questions. On that issue, Justice Ginsburg asked the attorney, Charles Cooper, when has the Supreme Court ever granted standing to the proponents of a ballot measure? The answer is never. But there was obviously some circumstances unique to California, namely the Supreme Court in California said that the proponents could stand in when the attorney general and the governor don't defend a law. But there was a very lively back and forth between the justices and all of the attorneys who spoke this morning about that question of standing. And it did seem that both liberal and conservative justices, I don't know how many, and I'm not going to be counting votes here today, but I don't know. There was clearly a sentiment that perhaps one way to deal with this would be to simply deny standing and send it back down and allow that district court ruling striking down Prop 8 to stand without ever getting to the merits. So that was very clear. And then there was on the question of marriage. It was a very, very lively back and forth. Scalia at one point with Ted Olson going back and forth heatedly. When? Tell me when. What date? When did gay marriage become a right? When was it? When did we know this? Was it 1871? Was it 1781? Very lively exchange. Clearly, he doesn't think there is a right to gay marriage. No surprise there. And of course, you know, the focus is on Justice Kennedy and Justice, perhaps Chief Justice Roberts as potential swing votes. And, you know, one thing I've learned is that you really can't jump to conclusions about where these justices are going to come out based on the questions that they ask.
That is true. But it did seem like at least three of them were pretty skeptical early on. And then that is Justices Breyer, Kagan, and Bader Ginsburg all questioned the argument from Charles Cooper, the attorney for Prop 8 backers, all questioned his argument that same-sex marriage interferes with the traditional goal of marriage, procreation.
They did. And at one point, Justice Kagan saying, well, why don't we ban people, say, who are over the age of 55 from getting married? And, you know, what harm, and the point being, of course, that they're beyond their childbearing years, at least the woman would be.
That got some laughter from the court, I heard.
That was very, very intense back and forth. And at one point, Charles Cooper was asked, what harm, by Justice Kagan, what harm, what is the cause and effect harm of allowing same-sex couples to marry. What is the harm? And Charles Cooper had a difficult time answering that question. There's a lot of noise going by because I think the plaintiffs are driving past. Cooper had a very difficult time answering that question, as he did at the trial when Judge Walker asked him that same question, what is the harm? And at one point, Justice Kennedy jumped in and said, Mr. Cooper, are you conceding that there's no harm? Because if you're not, you better answer Justice Kagan's question. So clearly he was either trying to help him or expressing his own exasperation with the lack of an answer.
But he did seem to get, Cooper, that is, did seem to get some support from the more conservative wing of the court, from Justice Scalia, who suggested that it's unclear whether the children of gay couples may suffer long-term damage.
Right. And one of the questions, not so much from Scalia, but from Alito and Roberts, is, you know, do we really know, do we have enough data about gay marriage to know if there's any harm or what impact it has on the children of same-sex couples? Should we maybe let this percolate for a while and not make a decision? You could see, again, that would be a way to go on the question of standing and just kick it away without ever getting to the merits. But, it's clearly some questions about what is the harm, what impact does it have on kids either way. And at one point, it was interesting, it's funny that a lot of us, most of us in the press, could not see most of the justices. We were behind an alcove and some columns. So we were each trying to figure out, who was that? Was that Kennedy? But I believe it was Kennedy asking a question about whether or not, we should just let the states figure this out. And, why not give it more time? Another big question that came up is, if California has done everything except grant the word marriage, in other words, there's adoption rights,
right,
all kinds of other legal protections, why would you punish a state like, say, California, that has done everything but give the word marriage and not do anything, not tell Utah or Oklahoma or all these other states that have done absolutely nothing to give rights to gay and lesbian couple? Why not tell them that they have to do something more than they're doing? And so it was sort of an internal contradiction in the argument there, in that case, of the Solicitor General, Donald Borelli.
Well, Scott, it doesn't end here, we know, because tomorrow they take up the Defense of Marriage Act, and I know you will be in court for that as well. Scott Schaefer, thank you for taking the time and joining us from Washington, D.C.
You're welcome.
Scott Schaefer is the host of the California Report, and we will hear from him again tomorrow with another update. All right, now on to the original topic I mentioned at the top of the half hour, and many thanks to Dennis Mulligan for his patience. Dennis Mulligan is the general manager and CEO of the Golden Gate Bridge Highway and Transportation District. He's here to talk about the big change coming tomorrow for the Golden Gate Bridge, and that is the switch to all electronic tolling. Good morning.
Good morning, Twee. Thank you for having me. We're real excited. All electronic tolling will reduce traffic congestion. It'll be good for the environment, and it'll save us money. So our message to our customers is don't stop. Just drive on through to the other side. If you haven't done anything, don't worry. Don't panic. If you haven't signed up for a license plate account, we'll mail you an invoice to the registered owner of the vehicle, and there'll be no extra fees associated with that transaction. You can mail us a check. You can go online and pay. You can go to a convenient cash payment location if you want to. So we'll have a variety of payment options for folks. The message is don't stop. Just drive on through.
And I know you've been pressing that message over and over again for weeks now in a highly publicized campaign, but do you still expect there to be a lot of confusion tomorrow?
We anticipate there will be some confusion. During commute hour, most of our customers already use Fast Track. In the morning commute, 85% of all our transactions are Fast Track. So we don't anticipate any problems then. But on weekends, we have high cash usage. And that's why we have really bad backup southbound on Saturday and Sunday afternoons. So it'll take a little time for people to adjust. So there'll be some teething problems. But people will adjust. They'll get the message. When they get the first invoice, they'll decide how they want to, pay their tolls going forward.
And I know you touched on it earlier, but can you be just very specific here? What are your options? You've got Fast Track, and then how do the other two options work?
So there's Fast Track. If you want Fast Track, go to Costco, Safeway, or Walgreens. You can pick up a transponder. Or if you don't want that little hockey puck in your car, and if you don't want to have a prepaid balance, you can sign up for a license plate account. You can go online and give us your credit card number and your license plate number, and each time you cross the bridge, you'll be charged the $6 toll with no extra fees. Alternately, you can do a one-time payment online at a kiosk, at a cash payment location if you're an unbanked individual, or over the phone during normal business hours. So we have a variety of payment options, and then the default is if you do nothing, we'll mail you an invoice to the registered owner of the vehicle. We're not adding any extra fees. fees. It's our normal toll structure. There is a $1 discount for Fast Track. We've had that for, you know, over a dozen years now, so we encourage people to get Fast Track. But if that's not for you, there's other options, and you'll pay the regular toll.
Okay. We're talking about the new toll system for the Golden Gate Bridge. It starts tomorrow. And our guest right now is Dennis Mulligan, General Manager of the Golden Gate Bridge Highway and Transportation District. Lots of commuters on that bridge, I know. If you want to join in on the conversation and give us your thoughts, you can call us at 866-733-6786. Again, 866-733-6786. You can also email your questions or comments to forum@kqed.org or post them on our website, kqed.org/forum. Why are you doing this? I know you're facing a budget shortfall over the next 5 years.
That's correct. We do have a budget shortfall of $66 million over the next 5 years. That's light years better where we were a decade ago. So we've taken a lot of steps to reduce costs. This will reduce costs, but it's also a better customer experience. You won't have to fumble for cash, and it will help with traffic congestion. It'll help during those periods where traffic backs up because of all the high volume of cash transactions. So that's good for the environment. We'll have less emissions. So we think it's a wise program. It's new to California, but it's been done elsewhere throughout the world.
It's also been done in Dallas in 2010, right? They phased out their manual stations on the 32-mile stretch known as the Dallas North Tollway.
That's correct. Dallas and Florida have done a conversion on their toll roads. It's less common on toll bridges, but it's the same principle, same concept. So there's really not a lot of new ground being turned over here other than that we're in California doing it. And we have a very high tourist market at the Golden Gate Bridge.
And what has been the result in places like Dallas and Florida? Did they achieve the results they were looking for? Money savings, faster traffic?
They did. They did achieve both of those. Traffic has been smoothed out, and they have achieved the savings they targeted, and that's why we're embracing it too. It's a proven track record of how this works. And if folks want more information on it, they can go to goldengate.org/tolls online, and there's a whole host of information.
We have calls coming in already. Let's go to Justin now from San Francisco. Justin, good morning, and welcome to Forum.
Good morning. Thank you for having me. My question is, what are people that travel from out of the country that drive rental cars? How are they going to pay this system? So, you know, they're here for a week and then they leave. How are they going to be charged for that?
There's two ways. Right now, all the major rental car license plates are in our system already. So currently, they can either take advantage of the existing car rental company's tolling program. It's the easiest, most convenient way to do it, but they do tack on convenience fees. If they want to avoid the convenience fee, they can opt out of that program when they rent the car, and they can make a one-time payment before they cross the bridge, either at a kiosk or online or over the phone. So they have a variety of options. We've been dealing with rental cars for 12 years where they drive through fast track lanes, some without having signed up for anything. So this is similar to what they encounter in Florida, which has also gone to all electronic tolling, and it seems to be seamless.
And, you know, I have to ask you about the toll takers, too. You talked about the money savings, and, of course, figuring into the money savings is the fact that you're eliminating toll takers. How much will that save you?
It'll save us over $2 million a year. It was a difficult decision for our board of directors. We've got the greatest toll collectors in the world. They're pleasant and they're wonderful individuals. So we gave them 2 years' notice, a little more than 2 years. In January of 2011, we said, your job's going away. Since then, for those last 2 years, they've had first priority and preference for all internal jobs. So a couple of them have become laborers, a couple have become bus drivers, and a couple have become bus dispatchers. So we've given them options internally, and then we've offered them severance packages. 2 weeks ago, we advertised 10 bus driver positions internally. So more than half of them have been placed or will otherwise retire, and we're working with the remaining ones to try to find them employment.
Okay, well, let's bring in a toll taker at this point since we're on the topic. Jackie Dean joins us now, and Jackie is a toll taker at the Golden Gate Bridge. Was today your last day, or had you left a while ago, Jackie?
Today is my last day. I ended at 2 o'clock today.
So you've got a few more hours left.
Yes, I do.
What are your feelings at this point? How long have you been a toll taker?
I've been a toll taker here for 18 and a half years.
Wow.
18 and a half wonderful years.
Wow.
Yeah.
What are you feeling at this point?
I'm sad that I'm leaving. I'm seeing a lot of my old customers today, and they are very emotional, and I'm trying not to keep the Kleenex company in business today, but it's not working. I've gotten bags of candy. I've gotten blessings, cards from Peach Coffee and Teas. I've gotten pictures. I've had my little kids, you know, tell me, you know, your carpool at me for the last time, and that's heartbreaking because I won't get to see them grow up.
Oh.
You know, the first days of kindergartens, I won't see that. I had a little boy promise me that he would take good care of his little sister. He promised me that, and I'm going to hold him to it. It's very emotional today for myself, my coworkers, and my customers. I'm seeing a lot of them for the last time.
I can hear it in your voice, how emotional this is for you. What are some of your favorite stories over the years?
Oh, favorite stories.
Give me your top one.
My top one. I can't believe I have a top one. They're all unique, you know, because of the people that they involve. I think the most touching one is I was working graveyard, and I told this to someone else, and I had a gentleman come, and he was from Japan. He had taken a flight with a bunch of his friends from Japan, and they went to L.A., what he called a red eye from L.A.,
up here to the Golden Gate Bridge. He wanted to walk across the bridge, and, of course, at the time, the sidewalk was closed because it was nighttime, so he stayed here, they told him. So when it was time for the bridge to open, one of the lieutenants, Dan Brown, came out and told him, you know, you can walk across the bridge and how to get there. Well, he sat on the stairs in front of the sergeant's office, and he opened up his backpack, took out this piece of cloth, and he unwrapped this pair of shoes. And he took off his shoes, put these shoes on. And I didn't understand, and I asked him, I said, you know, what's up with the shoes? He said these were his grandfather's shoes.
Oh.
His grandfather always wanted to walk across the Golden Gate Bridge, and he never did. And he was doing this for his grandfather. And that was at 5 o'clock in the morning. And he went on and did his walk. He walked all the way across, and he walked back. And I got off at 6, and I stayed because I just wanted to see him complete that walk for his grandfather. And at the end of the walk, he sat back on the stairs, took off his grandfather's shoes, rewrapped them, put them back in his backpack, put his own shoes on, and he went on his way. I thought that was very touching. You know, that's three generations right there because these were his grandfather's shoes. He completed his grandfather's wish. I thought that was a beautiful thing. Halfway around the world, he did that for that.
That is a great story, Jackie. Now you're going to make me cry.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sitting here, and it's, you know, I'm just remembering the gentleman's face and how happy he was to be able to do that. No.
Well, what's next for you?
I'm going on vacation, and I have a lot of yard work to do before my neighbors start complaining. So, you know, I'm just going to just, like, take a week off. I do have some, you know, irons in the fire on things I want to do. And I need a job. Hopefully I'll wind up with Bart, you know, that I'm trying to get with Bart. I'll take a radio host show if you got one.
Jackie, be great.
Jackie, you have to get in line behind me, honey, because, you know, I'm filling in for Michael. You need to line up behind me.
Yeah, I have a segment called Ask Jackie.
All right. Well, if you have a job for Jackie Dean, you can call us and we'll pass the message on. Jackie, it was a pleasure to talk to you. Thank you for joining
us. Thank you very much.
Take care of yourself. Much luck to you.
Okay.
All right. We have some emails coming in as well. Nanny writes, I cross the bridge about once a month. What is the best option for me to pay the toll? Dennis?
Probably the easiest is to sign up for a license plate account. You can go online and put your credit card number in and your vehicle license plate number. And then each time you drive across, you charge $6.
Oh, okay. Well, that was simple. You know, we have Jerry in San Anselmo who's been waiting very patiently on the phone line. So let's go to Jerry now and give him a chance to ask his question. Good morning, Jerry.
Good morning.
Go ahead, please.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you just fine.
Okay. My question is, I have one of the early transponders and the battery's gone dead, and there's no really easy way for me to get a new battery into it. How do I go about that?
You can call the customer service center, and they'll send you an envelope. You can mail it back, and they'll mail you a new one.
Okay.
There's no easy way to take it apart. Don't take it apart. Please don't try to pry it apart. There is an internal battery. So you can mail it in. If you have your license plate registered to the Fast Track tag, if the battery's not working, they'll still charge your Fast Track account. But it's probably best just to get a new tag, and that's easily done. Just call the customer service center at 877-229-8655.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks, Jerry. We have this email as well from Liz. And Liz writes, rental car companies charge up to $100 to service the bridge toll for rental cars. What a terrible advertisement for San Francisco. Why not have one lane for a machine that just issues the bill itself? Why bother mailing it to people? She wants to be able to just plug the bill, send the payment in, have the license plate photo as backup anyway, whether the person is an occasional user or have a rented car. It doesn't have to be hard. It doesn't have to discourage tourists. How do you respond to Liz?
Liz, it's easy to avoid paying those fees with a rental car, and we will have advertisements up at the rental car desk at SFO and the other locations. At the hotels, on the TVs, will, as part of the commercials, be information on how to avoid paying those fees. We don't want people going home to Topeka and telling their neighbors, don't visit San Francisco. It's the number one economic engine in San Francisco. So we've worked very closely with SF Travel. And so there's an easy option for you to avoid paying those fees. You can opt out when you rent the car. When you rent a car, there's lots of extra fees. They tell you it's $29.95 a day, and it ends up being $85. So you want to always ask questions, but you can opt out. And there's a couple easy ways to pay: online, over the phone, or at a cash payment kiosk. But we're doing that instead of having a special lane, because we don't want you stopping at the toll plaza. If there's one lane, everyone will want to stop there, and it'll back up traffic for miles. So we've looked at how others have done this successfully, including in Florida, where they have a lot of rental cars, and it works very well.
All right, and here's another question for you via email. Justine wants to know, how will carpools work?
Carpools will work now like they do at the other bridges, like the Bay Bridge. We'll have a dedicated carpool lane. As you're going southbound into San Francisco, what we call lane number two, but the second from the right, will be signed as a carpool lane. There'll be a sign above it and a sign adjacent to it. And so during carpool hours, you'll have to have three people in your car, and you will have to have, or have a DMV sticker for the right type of vehicle, or be a motorcycle, and you need to have a fast track transponder. So it'll be the exact same as the other bridges in the Bay Area.
And it does seem like you're really trying to push as many people to Fast Track as possible. Lots of Fast Track fans out there as well. Derek wrote this email to us. Why in heaven's name would anyone in the Bay Area not already have Fast Track? They're cheap to establish and save time, even if you use a bridge only occasionally. But most important for those of us who have had common sense to have Fast Track, the traffic will move faster.
Well, we echo what he says. But additionally, at the Golden Gate Bridge, you get a dollar discount if you use Fast Track. We've had that from day one for over a dozen years.
$5 instead of $6.
It's $5 instead of $6. So we've always offered a dollar discount for Fast Track. We try to encourage it, and we try to entice you. But if you don't want it, that's okay. A license plate account is real easy, and there's a lot of ways that you can sign up for it.
And for those of us who are stuck in traffic, I think maybe one of the better arguments here is that it will speed up traffic. When I know you've done exhaustive studies on this. Currently, toll takers process how many cars per lane per hour? And with this new system, how many cars do you expect to be able to increase that by?
A staffed toll booth with a toll collector is about 500 transactions per hour. A regular lane will have over 1,500 transactions per hour, so it definitely speeds up traffic. Our worst congestion today is in those time periods when we have high usage of cash, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday afternoon, so this will help tremendously.
Okay. And we have just a little bit of time left in the program, maybe about a minute or so. Let me try to sneak Roger from San Francisco in with one last call here. Roger, good morning. Welcome to Forum.
Yes, thank you. I cross the bridge frequently, and over the years, I've noticed people acting oddly on the walkway crossing the bridge. I alerted the toll taker, and I'm sure she sent a guard out to check that person out. It's a safety factor. So many people have died off that bridge. It's to lose this element is sad. I know you have cameras and you have patrol, but people crossing the bridge can actually act as a safety factor also. So although I understand the motivation,
Roger,
behind the change.
Yeah, Roger, I understand. And lots of people will miss the toll takers as well. It's been a difficult decision, as you heard Dennis say. Thank you for calling in. And we're going to leave it at that. We were joined by Dennis Mulligan, General Manager of the Golden Gate Bridge Highway and Transportation District, as well as earlier, Jackie Dean, a toll taker at the bridge. Thank you for joining us. I'm Twee Vu, here today for Michael Krasny. Thanks for listening.